over here.
I need a beer. I need a beer. I need some shots. I need...
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man. Long day at work. And then this Thursday, I get to go to the Ohio State House at 9 a.m. and testify in opposition to House Bill 658, which we've talked about on here before.
Yeah.
Basically, bill is going to force teachers to out trans kids to their parents.
Yeah, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, so, and especially given, like,
the not just the bill, but that you have to go and testify.
Oh, God, yeah. I put on a suit. I haven't had to wear a suit in so long. I used to, at my fake job, when I was working at that bullshit, like, multi-level marketing job.
Yeah, on team.
Yeah. Also, speaking of multi-level marketing, listen to the Dream podcast. It is super good. I'll probably include a link in the show notes.
Okay.
But it's all about, like, MLMs in the U.S. and worldwide, and about, like, the steps the FTC tried to take to shut them down, which worked early on until fucking Amway. And so a lot of MLMs today will say, "Oh, we're not a pyramid scheme. We're like Amway. We have rules."
Right.
And so for the longest time, I thought, like, the organization that, you know, developed those rules was whatchamacallit, the FTC, but it was actually Amway that came up with those rules.
Right.
And it was because they had massive political power at the time. They had I think the president of Amway was also the chair of the National Chamber of Commerce. And another one of the super high up people was, I can't remember his first name, but it's like Betsy DeVos's dad or something like that.
Yep. That sounds about right.
Christ. Jesus, MLMs suck. But anyway, off that tangent, at my fake MLM job, I had to wear a suit every day. And at my new job, I get to wear whatever. So I wear sick nerd t-shirts most of the time. Like,
hell yeah.
A little pixel art cup of coffee. Or I was a Macintosh user. Or I was an Apple. Yeah, I was a Macintosh user when Apple was doomed.
Right.
And who the star is, John Gruber. It's right. I like him a lot.
Oh, that reminds me, like, before Microsoft got into gaming and everybody thought it would fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
And how Halo was the first thing at, like, an Apple event.
Right? Yeah, it was. It was
supposed to be released on Macintosh.
Yeah, and then it didn't.
Nope.
Steve Jobs was sad.
And then Microsoft's like, "We'll give you a bunch of money. Just release on our product.
Just please give us this." And it worked.
And now they've made hundreds of thousands of dollars off of that franchise.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was just going to point out that we both came out with really great tweets like 5 minutes ago, ten minutes ago about Detective Pikachu. So yeah, I'll perform my tweet. So you saw all the live action. You saw the trailer today that dropped. It's I don't know. It feels like it's gonna be a fun movie, but I feel better about it than I would about a live action Pokemon movie.
Mm-hmm.
It looks okay. My tweet was spoiler alert for Detective Pikachu. The best scene is when Detective Pikachu and Tim confront John Doe in the desert about the mysterious package. "What's in the box?" Pikachu screams, unwilling to accept that it's Misty's decapitated head.
And very topical, I just tweeted, I'll say it if no one else will, Stan Lee would rather be dead than see a live-action Pokemon.
That's a hot take.
it's a very hot take. Super hot fire.
Very, very hot. Oh, hot take. I know none of this will probably mean anything to you, but Sheck Wess's Mo Bamba is not a good song.
Oh.
Just so you know. Oh, did you do your homework?
Listen to Nostalgia.
Nostalgia by...
Yeah.
Like Pusha T, Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, dude. That was a fucking what did the kids say? A banger.
It was a banger.
It was a banger.
Yeah. Should I, like, I'll probably have a long story time just because this weekend was awesome for me. So.
Hell yeah. Your sister got married, didn't she?
My sister got married. Yeah. Not to dox the wedding party and all that, so I'll just leave them all out, all of their names out. But yeah. My sister got married in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. It was a really awesome time. They got married at the Old Sterling Church on Public Square in Cleveland. Really, really nice. Really, really old church from the 1800s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and just, like, beautiful, like, huge pipe organ and, like, great, like handcrafted, like, pews and everything. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we went on a party bus and went around Cleveland taking pictures.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, and drinking a lot of Sambuca. And
nice.
And it was a lot of fun. And then we got to they had their reception at a place called Nashat's, which is really awesome too. It was a really, really nice hall. Before that, we had the day before that, obviously, we had the rehearsal, and then we went out for Mexican food at El Carnicero. Do you know what that is?
I do not.
It is an award-winning Mexican restaurant in a suburb of Cleveland in Lakewood.
Oh.
And we had a private bar dinner. So
nice.
It was awesome.
Does it have that Daddy Fieri seal of approval?
Yeah, I think so, actually. I think he's been on, the guy who owns it's been on Guy's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and Guy's Grocery Games. So, yeah.
Hell yeah.
It definitely does. But yeah, they have they're famous for their goat cheese guacamole.
Ooh.
And their habanero, it's habanero lime margarita and cucumber margarita.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a fucking great week, and that's why I was so tired yesterday, so we couldn't record.
Big
yeah. So, but I am pepped up now.
Hell yeah.
Oh, talk about Toy Story 4. Have you seen that trailer yet?
Is there a Toy Story 4?
Yeah, they came out with that trailer today.
Fucking why?
Oh my god, it's really funny. It's just a teaser. But Tony Hale?
Yeah.
Tony Hale from Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Buster. He's going to be in it, and he's a character called Forky.
Oh god.
And they are it's funny that they're like doing like a ring around the Rosie kind of thing. Like all these characters that you know. And then all of a sudden you see this character that you don't know, and it's just a spork with arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says the first words that you hear in the trailer, and he goes, "Oh God, I'm not a toy. I'm not a toy. Oh God." Existential crisis is a really weird place to put this children's franchise.
Yeah.
But okay. Oh God, I'm a monster. Oh God, I shouldn't be alive. did you hear that recent Mibim Bam?
Oh yeah, we're hand dog versus face cat. Oh man,
which one would you choose?
Which would I choose? Yeah. This is hard because it depends on the face. It also depends on if it can talk, or if it goes around like all day in like this very deep like baritone voice, just saying meow like all day long. And like I think I could tolerate that more.
If the cat was just like Cheshire Cat, but with a human face.
With that big ass smile, that'd be so bad. But hand dog can kill you.
That's when they brought that up, I was like, oh yeah, duh.
But
hand dog will kill you because it does not want to be a monstrosity in this world. Why did you bring me into existence?
But Handog also has dog brain, which
That's
can't
true.
Can't process that information probably.
But dog brain gets more gets emotional quickly. So
That's true.
Dog brain might, you know, dog brain, I'm mad at you. I'm going to use this weapon to hurt you.
But let me think. Like, I would rather, instead of, like, if a dog was, like, angry, and, like, because, like, you got a kid that's, like, tugging on it wrong because its parents are garbage and don't teach it how to, like, properly, you know, pet an animal or
right.
keep them separated until the kid's old enough to understand how to do that shit. Instead of, like, Handog biting the kid and having to get put down, I'd be completely okay with Handog just slapping the shit out of a kid.
Handog strangling the kid. What are you doing? Oh, man. Now I'm uncomfortable about Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, because...
Oh, shit.
It's got a very... It has a very deep voice, and you gotta,
yeah.
You
I mean, it's fucking Ryan Reynolds, too.
I bet... Do you think Detective Pikachu cranks his hog?
Oh, wow. I don't want to...
if he's voiced by Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Detective Pikachu Deadpool crossover?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That could be terrible. I mean, Detective Pikachu is just opening the gates for, like, a grittier side to Pokemon. So, you know, they're going to be, like, going after hardened criminals and shit. It's going to be awesome.
There was a good tweet I saw earlier, and it was Detective Pikachu flicks a spent cigarette into the river with the rest of the bodies. Forget about it, Mac. It's Lavender Town. And I'm like...
That's amazing.
Yo.
Man, if they could go to one place from the games, it should be Lavender Town.
Oh, 100%.
That'd be great. But yeah, I didn't expect Detective Pikachu, like real action Detective Pikachu, before like just like a mainline traditional Pokemon.
Hell yeah!
So I didn't think that game was that popular, but
I didn't know hardly anything about it. But granted, I am currently patiently awaiting for this Friday, which is probably why it was announced today. Because this Friday, Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee come out, and I will be getting that on Friday. It's been pre-ordered since, like, July, so I've waited a good long minute for this. I got the special, like, collector's pack that comes with, like, the Pokeball controller. And you can also, like, sync up the Pokeball to your Pokemon Go. And it'll like vibrate when there's a Pokemon nearby, and you can just click the thumbstick and catch the Pokemon. Be like, yeah,
nice. So maybe. It works as a whatever the band or whatever that they were selling.
Yeah,
it was one of those two.
Hell
so you
yeah.
can just like carry it on your hip and then like press it when you're. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about buying one of those. Because I was like there's parts in my life where I'm super into Pokemon Go and then I'm super not.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's a lull. Like Pokemon Go is okay right now,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. If I had a Switch, I probably would buy it and would be obsessed with it for another month or so.
Yeah.
I was talking to my cousins, in our hotel when we were getting breakfast, and we were talking about Kingdom Hearts 3. And how everybody's excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all played it together.
Yeah.
So we played Kingdom Hearts 1 together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we were talking. And it's like, you know how crazy it'll be if you pick up that game and you've never played a Kingdom Hearts game before?
Oh, it'd be fucking buck wild, my dude.
And there are going to be so many parents that do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to buy that for their kids. And their kids are going to be like, what the hell is this?
I don't see like, any of these characters in cartoons.
They're talking about existentialism. Why is Pooh crying? Like, I don't...
Oh, no. Oh, man.
Stuff like that.
I feel like I've talked on the podcast about how I went to see... Or maybe I didn't. I went to see Christopher Robin alone, and I cried in the theater.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, which
Is
is.
that a good movie? I haven't seen
Oh,
it.
it was so good. I loved it.
Okay.
And it was a nice change of pace for me, like crying alone in the theater just because the way my life is going versus crying alone
Right.
in the theater because the movie was good.
I feel like I'm due for a good cry because like I like had like a couple tears during the ceremony, right? But then I was like pinching myself to make sure that I didn't like ball up like in front of all these people. But yeah, like since that day, like there are things that are make like I was wa I watched I was watching like The Good Place last night.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, oh, this moment can make me cry. I'm like, maybe I'm just too sensitive right now. So yeah, and then oh, that's a good transition into what else I watched last night, which was I watched the first episode of Sabrina.
Oh, so fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah, I only watched the first episode and it's pretty good, but Michelle Gomez is in it and I'm all for that. Holy shit, she's awesome.
Hell yeah. Is she the
And
one who takes over the spot of the teacher?
yes.
Oh my God, dude,
Yeah.
she's
She's super good.
Lord.
And then I watched John Leguizamo's Latin History for Morons. Oh, it was so good.
Very
There's a
nice.
lot of stuff that I don't know, and he you know like he recommend it's a play, right? So that was recorded just for Netflix. Where basically he's talking about how he was struggling to connect with his son and get him through school and be a good father because his son was being bullied and how to father him through that while also coaching him on like all of the Latin American heroes that you know he never knew about. And so he was like, in order for me to help my son, I needed to do some research. And so he has this, so basically the whole show is him talking about all of the things that he all of the stuff that he researched for that entire year, culminating to his son's 8th grade graduation and him making like this like impassioned speech about Latin American heroes. It's awesome. It's a really good story.
Hell yeah.
But he recommends a lot of really great books in there, too. So, but yeah, you know, he's talking about how, like, there are no public, public schools in this country that like will teach Latin American history unless you're in a, hugely Latin American, like Hispanic American, town. Like, there's no, you know, and Hispanic Americans have been a part and Latin Americans have been a part of the country forever. And I didn't know that Latin Americans fought in the Civil War. That was a new fact to me. And that most Latin Americans have both indigenous roots and black roots. I did not know that. Like, it's crazy what, you know, what I as an American, I should know, but I don't. And, you know, there are people still to this day that think, you know, Latin Americans don't deserve to, you know, they're not real Americans.
True.
But
And there's
come
a
on,
lot
they're more
of.
real. They're more real Americans than you are, so.
And there are a lot of kids who are growing up and they're missing out on like a big part of their heritage because they're just outside of the home because like after a certain age they stop spending a majority of their time in their home. Their main educators become teachers instead of their parents and they don't get to learn about their own history.
Right. And he points at, like when he's wrapping up, he points out that you know there's a cultural or there's a war against minority histories being purged from this country's history. In order to keep everybody thinking, oh no, we didn't, you know, our culture isn't shit. Like, and to have everybody just, you know, beat themselves up over, no, we, you You know, we never contributed anything to this country, even though Black Americans, Latino Americans, Asian Americans contributed a lot, a lot more than we get credit for. So,
yeah.
So that's my rant.
Have you been keeping up on, speaking of shows, there's a few I've been watching recently. So Dad and I just finished season 3 of Daredevil.
Oh, yeah?
And it was a buck wild ride from start to finish.
Okay.
First couple episodes slow to start, but it really picked up into just this tidal wave of hopelessness, like up to the season finale. But it was very well done. Nice. I'm pretty sure because Disney's releasing the new streaming service, that this is going to be the last Marvel series on Netflix, because they already canceled Luke Cage. They canceled Jessica Jones. I'm pretty sure this is the last season of Daredevil. But
then all that
good.
Stuff will be on Disney service.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But and then let's see here. Season 2 of Sad Spies just came out, which I'm very excited for.
What's that?
Patriot.
Okay.
So good. If you haven't gotten into it yet, it's still so good. It's,
Patriot.
Yeah.
What's that on?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
10 out of 10 would recommend. And then, let's see here. What was another one? Let's see here. We just got caught up on Doctor Who last night. And I think this most recent episode, like, made me weep.
That's good.
It was...
Yeah, I haven't seen the new Doctor Who.
Oh, dude. So,
Is there any way to watch back episodes without having recorded them, or
files are so small that it's super easy and just fall off the back of the truck, but no one would even notice, but
no one's gonna notice.
That's how we watch, but I don't know how else to get it,
but I'm sure BBC America has like a native client. I don't know.
But so this most recent episode, it was called The Demons of Punjab, and it was about so one of the main characters, she's learning about her heritage from her Pakistani grandmother, and she was the first woman married in Pakistan, and so she wants to go back and kind of see her grandmother when she was young. And so they go back in time, and it is the day before the wedding, and it is also the day where partition started, where they announced the borders between India and Pakistan. And holy shit, dude. What a fucking episode.
Yeah. What a backdrop. Okay.
And, like, oh my god. Doctor Who hasn't made me cry in several years. I think the last time I properly wept like I did last night, and it wasn't over like the loss of a character that like I'd grown to like become really attached to, because that was the last time I wept was when David Tennant died.
Right.
But this, like the storytelling in this, and just it was beautifully done and really just terribly in a like beautiful way done. Just very visceral and just heartbreaking. But so that was an event. And then let's see here. What else? I think that's all the shows we're caught up on. Let's see here. Oh, American Horror Story. Still good. Ish. I don't know where they're going with it.
Ish.
Yeah. Have you been watching it?
I've just seen the first season.
Okay.
So
gotcha.
I haven't watched anything after that. And they have like 13 or 14 of them now, something like that. It always seems like they're coming out with them.
Oh yeah, this is the last one. Yeah, this is the definitive ending, and it's tying all of the previous
all the timelines together.
Yeah, and it's pretty good. But, besides that, life's been pretty normal. Still working. We had a Veterans Day thing today. They left a flag on my desk, and someone brought balloons. And I was like, "Oh,
that's
nice.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your support. I'll give some give all."
Yeah, exactly.
I need a Merlin Mann bell on my desk, but that's an expense for another time.
Ding ding ding. Yeah, I actually the other podcast I was before the podcast with Peter, I was looking for a bell.
Oh, nice.
Could not find one. I'm like, maybe I should just get this from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's me now. I guess that's the majority of Americans now. It's just I can't find anything. Let's go to Amazon.
Hell yeah.
Get it from there.
It's I like it. I don't have to interact with people. It's so good.
should we cover serious stuff now? I don't know. I don't know. Midterms?
Midterms were not as bad as I originally thought.
Right. Everybody was feeling, I think everybody expected it to go bad, and mm-hmm. that's why people were mad.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, Sherrod Brown is still senator, so.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean, there's a lot of House seats that we could have won, but
mm-hmm.
whatever.
And I think the big victory here was just the, like, massive increase in voter registration. I think that, like, especially gearing up towards 2020 is going to be huge. I think even though Beto lost the race, I think it set him up very well for potentially running for president in 2020.
Going to be a bold move, but I mean, fuck it. Trump didn't have any experience.
Yeah.
So,
and Beto actually seems
like a decent human being. Beto is more eloquent and smarter than he is. So
absolutely. And then Sherrod Brown actually confirmed today that they're testing the waters and they're seriously considering, he and his wife are seriously considering his potential for running for president in 2020. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. I mean, he already has Ohio support, so
mm-hmm.
yeah, might as well. You know, that's the same thing that John Kasich did. He's like, oh, well, I already have a battleground state. I know I'm going to win here. So
hell yeah. And it turned out being the only one who won. And I campaigned for him so hard back when I was still kind of a Republican before I just completely went off the deep end.
Yeah, I think I lost you there for a second, actually.
Oh, did you?
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no. Fucking Skype.
Yeah, technical issues. All right. You sound good now.
Awesome. Fine. But yeah, so I had... I forgot what I said. I'm tired. It's been long.
When you were campaigning, when you were still a Republican...
Yeah. I was, like, gunning super hard for John Kasich, and that was dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a huge problem with Kasich.
I mean,
he
gets some things he's a better, right, but he's still, like, pro-life. He's still, like, lagging behind on, like, LGBTQ rights and that sort of thing, and...
Right.
So... Right.
There isn't a high bar to be an acceptable person in the Republican Party.
Oh, so absolutely not.
No. It's fine. But John Kasich is an acceptable person. But yeah, you're right. He's still behind on a lot of issues that he shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
The midterms are good. Recounts are happening.
Yeah, I need to catch up on what's going on in Florida because this is looking pretty terrifying.
Like 3,000 votes, I think, was the split.
Yeah.
Right.
And
that's crazy.
They're currently the Republicans are currently looking to try and sue to prevent the additional ballots from being counted, which include
the judge.
Mm-hmm.
I think the judge said today that there's no evidence, so he's not going to let that happen.
Okay, thank God.
And he basically told everybody to tone down the rhetoric
mm-hmm.
because the nation's watching. So, It's so stupid. You can say anything now and you'll get a headline.
Oh, absolutely.
Come on. Like, no one's stealing votes. We just want every vote to count. Mm-hmm. Like, settle down, people.
Yeah.
And then, what's that other race in Georgia?
Oh, yeah.
It's also being...
With the automatic, massive fucking...
Automatic runoff, right?
Yeah, automatic runoff. And... Which awesome. Is and the
the massive voter
suppression. Yep,
that was in the news.
Yeah, the guy who's literally in charge of ensuring fair and open elections in the state,
right.
Who is on the ballot, preventing electronic voting booths from having power courts.
Mm-hmm. In primarily black districts.
Yep.
Yep, that's how it happens.
That's how they get you.
But yeah, I'm glad that it's that close that can happen though.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the press especially is going to be strong against that campaign because it's going to be the only one, I think. Mm-hmm. Right? Is that going to be the only runoff that's happening?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they are definitely going to be watchdogs for that, which that's good. What else?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg broke 3 ribs, and I'm terrified.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she's strong. There's that Twitter post out there that was just like scientists say that the person that is going to reach 150 has already been born. Let's hope that person was Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Very nice. Very nice.
Amazing.
And let's see here. What else? I got... I already talked about my thing that I get to go testify about on Thursday.
Nice. Do you know what you're going to say?
Yeah, I've already... So essentially the... post I put up on DylanBickers.com, or not, no, I put it up on the masthead way back when.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially going to be my remarks, and then I'm going to do some research and find cases in which essentially parents or kids being outed to their parents before they were ready to come out has had negative mental health impacts on those kids.
Right.
Which super sadly won't be too hard to find.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I had two things. I had that Surefire Intelligence story.
Oh.
Which is fucking bananas. Did you hear about this?
I did not.
Okay. This guy like the Jacob Wool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And how he was trying to so he made this like fake private investigation firm that was calling up women who had previous experience or just were like in the American law offices with Robert Mueller and trying to get them to accuse him of sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
To discredit Mueller and get him off the investigation.
Jesus.
And they were talking about paying these women and like paying off their debts and
I think they talked about this on Chapo. Yeah,
it was fucking crazy. So there's this guy, I think he's not from the Independent. He was from the Washington Post, I think, that did a piece on Jacob Wool and how all of this stuff is bullshit.
Now it's coming back to me.
Yeah, they came to him, and one of the women came to him and was like, I don't even know why they came to me. I don't know Robert Mueller. It's just that I'm a law professor, so they just came to me. They traced back.
You're teasing me, dude.
They they traced back the fake stuff, and it was like traced back to like
Hit me
Jacob
with the stinger.
Wohl's mother's answering machine.
Ah!
Yeah. Amazing. Did you come? Okay.
Oh man, I couldn't come until I got to the answering machine.
Come on, man. So yeah, they call it Surefire Intelligence. And they made up this whole fake site and with like stock photos of models. And yeah, and now Jacob Bull's in a lot of fucking trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Despite this plot's apparent disintegration, Mr. Wohl and Mr. Berkman insist a press conference will go ahead in which sexual misconduct allegations will be made against Mueller. It never did.
Mm-hmm.
That conference was supposed to come 11 days ago.
Yeah.
That never happened because they couldn't find anybody who would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a fucking banana story. Like, wow. Like, yeah, a woman was offered $20,000 to make false accusations.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. If you found the right person that was that desperate, I mean, mm-hmm. come on.
Oh, yeah. Even if there was no credibility to it, they totally would have eaten it up. And Trump would, I mean, like, look at the fact that fucking, what's her name? Sarah Huckabee Sanders retweeted that video that was doctored by Breitbart about the Acosta.
It was doctored by the White House themselves.
Oh, no. It was doctored by Breitbart.
Okay.
And Sarah Huckabee Sanders just took the video from Breitbart. And, yeah, it's Jesus, dude.
Yeah. He's just mad because his son's going to go to jail, so. I was going to say it's good that you have these courageous women that will come and, like, be like, no, like, mm-hmm. there's no way you're going to use me for this shit.
Yeah. And let me talk for a second about these fucking jackals at Fox right. News. So first and foremost, we got Tucker Carlson, who apparently people protested outside of his house and he's in fear of his safety. Meanwhile, on the Daily Caller, which is a website run by Tucker Carlson, this Twitter account, I don't know if you've seen them, it's called Sleeping Giants. They've been like hardcore pushing to get advertisers to break away from Fox News programs that are kind of like propagating racist rhetoric and that sort of thing. And so Tucker Carlson himself has lost a ton of advertisers because of this website. And
nice.
So people on the Daily Caller have been, like, trying to confront him, wound up doxing this guy and his wife and released their home address. And this guy's wife is still getting death threats. Jesus, I'm tired.
Yep.
And but they're also all crying about people with bongos outside of Tucker Carlson's house saying they're a threat to his safety. Like, okay,
exactly.
shut the fuck up. And then also soon to be, I believe, Senator Ocasio-Cortez.
Representative.
All right. Soon to be representative. Yes. It was revealed, I think, in a New York Times interview that she is waiting until her first check clears for being a representative to find housing in D.C. because on her current salary, she can't afford it. And these jackals in bespoke suits on Fox News are trying to come at her for not being qualified for the job because she can't manage her money. And
even though 40% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck,
yeah,
but whatever.
And even though a couple months ago during the election, they were trying to spread some bullshit about the fact that she can afford, or she's living in some mansion and she's affording all of these like designer clothes, which that whole thing started because she did like a piece in Vanity Fair and they dressed her up in some nice clothes, but she had to give them back at the end of the photo shoot. Like, people don't just get to model clothes and then like, yep, I'll keep this. It's like, no, that's a $20,000 dress. You don't get to keep that.
Right.
But Jesus.
Yeah, no, midterms, man. Midterms. The story today was another one of Trump's cronies is expecting to be indicted. So.
Oh, of course.
So that's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Roger Stone. I hadn't actually looked into the story.
But, oh man, I haven't heard of that either. But I do remember like the super popular Netflix documentary of Get Me Roger Stone. I remember not Roger Stone has a fucking tattoo of Nixon on his back, and that's a real thing.
That's what?
Yeah, he's a tattoo of Nixon's face on his back. I think right between. Oh,
is
his shoulder
he one
blades.
Of those like? Is he one of those like Republican runner guys that like?
Oh, the fixer type. Campaigns? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That makes sense then.
Yeah, he got his start working on the Nixon campaign and actually was a crucial part of the Watergate scandal.
Amazing.
Yeah, and that was the guy that obviously that Donald Trump wanted to help be a campaign fixer because, you know, if you're the devil, you want to go with some shitty-ass people to run your campaigns.
Yeah. Did you hear about how it's so long ago, it seems like forever, but there was one of the aides that was arrested, sent to jail, and then got out on bond, and then like went on I think I went on Meet the Press, and he talked about how Rudy Giuliani was one of the proponents of working with the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he said that he had no idea what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking
Jesus.
Trump didn't know what was going on because he's Trump, but
yeah, he's
Rudy
off
Giuliani,
getting pissed on
Rudy
by
Giuliani's
Russian hookers,
like, right? Rudy Giuliani's like, yeah, let's work with the Russians, let's work with the Ukrainians and get this done,
of course.
So yeah, I that you know nothing surprises me anymore. It's all a fucking shit show. But hopefully there are more and more indictment stories to come because I haven't heard. I think it was Don Jr. was supposed to get indicted, right?
Oh yeah, and Jared Kushner
because he implicated himself.
Yeah,
on Twitter he sent out his invitation to the Russians or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like. How can you be that dumb?
Father.
That is probably one of the only acceptable sketches on SNL right now. The Trump brothers. Have you seen that yet?
I have not. I'm just going
so
off the Dubai Friday bit.
It's so fucking good. Don and Eric played by I forgot the names, Eric is like he like just says like he's just smiling with his teeth all the time and like looking at the camera, and Don is like talking for them, and then like Eric gets distracted or says something wrong or says something that implicates him, and he's like, no, he didn't mean that. Eric, go play with your spinners.
Go play with your fidget spinners before you get demoted to Baron. Jesus.
Eric, do you want a chocolate? Okay. It's great.
Oh, my father has the best chocolate. My father has the best chairs because normal chairs break when he sit down because he's too strong.
He's strong, man. I was going to talk about this 99% Invisible episode that was really, really good.
Okay.
So Story by Katie Mingle, producer on 99% Invisible, called A Year in the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's the story of the aftermath of Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And how power grid, the power grid wasn't great before Hurricane Maria, but after Hurricane Maria, every station was down.
Mm-hmm.
Every station.
Yeah.
Every station's powering hospitals, schools, transportation, all of them are down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a story about this guy named Jorge Barcero, who works for the Puerto Rican Electric Power Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And basically saw that his community was in fear of what would happen to them, or what did happen to them without energy. And so he went out to start basically posting. He started posting online on Facebook and on Twitter of all of the updates that prep. He's like getting everybody to know, like prep is trying to get this stuff under control. Like, we're over here. Your city's next. Like, stuff like that. Trying mm-hmm. to reassure everybody that, you know, we're here with you, and you know, we're doing the best we can, and then going around until he became it. You know, it took, so all in all, it took almost a year. It took 11 months.
Yeah.
To get a territory, very small territory in the United States of America. Like, how does this happen? It took 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
For them to get back online, all of the grid online.
Oh, yeah.
And so Jorge Becerra, for all of his posts, because he was posting on his iPhone,
mm-hmm.
so he would work 15-hour days, and then he would come home and work another 3 hours on these posts
mm-hmm.
about, you know, this is what we did today, this is what we're gonna do tomorrow, you know, so. Yeah, just a fantastic dude, and he became kind of like a folk hero
mm-hmm.
Among people, and so there's like a bunch of memes and stuff about Jorge Bracero. I think they called him like Saint Luz, which is Saint Light.
Very nice.
He did a parody of All I Want for Christmas by Mariah Carey with someone as All I Want for Christmas is Loose, which is pretty good. But it's fucking crazy that all of this stuff happened to these people, you know? So many people died.
Yeah.
And
the president tried to downplay the death number, or the death toll. Straight up, even try and downplay it, just straight up said that the third party study that was performed to see how many people died in relation to the hurricane due to like loss of power and lack of medical care and that sort of thing was overinflated by the Democrats. Like, just vicious, disgusting lies coming out of the presidency, who's essentially in charge of directing the federal response, and
he's letting it happen again.
Yeah,
in California, right?
Yeah,
like it's freaking November 12th, and California's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you know, I was saying if it was any other, I don't even have to say that if it was Obama, if it was any other president,
mm-hmm.
he would have been there this week.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not Trump.
Nope, absolutely not. And he also didn't show up to. He didn't show up to the World War, the Armistice Day ceremony. He didn't show up to Arlington today on Veterans Day because of rain.
Mm-hmm.
He continually, like, and people fucking buy it, which is just pisses me off. Like, purports himself to be this like friend and ally of veterans and active duty military, right, and all these people, and yet he continuously, right, just fucks them over. And right, everyone's like, herder, he's a Republican, must be for us. No, shut the fuck up.
There's a story that just came out where and yeah, I just read the headline, but veterans were denied their GI Bill,
mm-hmm,
for like 120 days.
Oh, dude.
Because of complications, not because, mm-hmm, of like funding or anything, just because of like infrastructure complications.
And oh, they, yeah, get
their funds. Like, what?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's like basic shit.
Oh, yeah.
But I was going to say the lighter part of the story is that he also, they went around and recorded a video of schools and hospitals getting their lights turned back on, and all these people are just like, they're just so happy. Could you imagine not having power for a year?
No.
And then all of a sudden, like he himself had a newborn baby girl, mm-hmm, and they were worried that when she came, because I think what the hurricane hit in September.
Yes, hurricane September hit in of last
September,
year,
September 20th.
Mm-hmm.
The girl was supposed to come. Their girl was supposed to come in October.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, "Oh shit, we need to get somebody. You know, we need to get one of the places that we can go to online before that happens." Thankfully, his parents, I think it was his parents' place, got energy before they did. So,
hell yeah,
she went over there after she was born. So it was all good there. But yeah, they have all these celebrations, and then the epilogue to this is that FEMA has this rule in place that you can only exchange damaged infrastructure for what was there before.
Mm-hmm.
After a tragedy,
mm-hmm,
so, or
natural disaster.
So, mm-hmm, that means that Puerto Ricans didn't get federal funding for their for anything better than what they had before.
Jesus.
Which was shit infrastructure already.
Yeah.
So basically, he was saying like he was basically pleading on the podcast, like, you know, we need help. We need federal funding,
mm-hmm,
to revamp our infrastructure. You're just putting the old poles back up, and that's not what we need right now. Mm-hmm. It's Puerto Rico is significantly more vulnerable than any other place in America still, and you know they're not ready for another Maria.
Yeah.
So what changed? You know, what is the federal government doing about American citizens that they're forgetting about, you know?
Yeah.
It was a really strong piece by 99% Invisible.
Oh yeah.
And then yeah, they also had how like these guys in another city were basically made themselves the power authority because no, mm-hmm, one else was helping them, which is extremely dangerous,
mm-hmm,
but the mayor allowed it because no one else was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these people that are not trained electricians or engineers pulling up poles and,
mm-hmm,
getting stations back online.
Hell yeah.
Like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I could not imagine.
Absolutely not.
But yeah. All so right. Yeah, that was my great episode of podcasting that I heard.
Hell yeah. We should do, maybe on the next episode or a future episode, we should revisit our top five podcasts, because I feel like, with the caveat that no repeats from the last time.
Okay, I have to go listen to that episode then.
Yeah, dig a challenge, five new great podcasts we are listeners should listen to. And then...
Yeah, there's I was going to ask for a challenge to do Political Compass for this episode, but
mm-hmm,
retake the Political Compass
Oh yeah.
Because I haven't done that in a couple of years.
Hell
so
yeah,
I'd like
I'd
to
be
see
down.
where we are. I mean, we're both socialists, probably.
Oh, probably. All right,
So yeah,
so
we'll do that
we'll do
some
a
point as well.
twofer. We'll do a twofer for next
Yeah,
week.
we can do it. Yeah, sure.
And
All right.
let's see here. I have one last thing before we button this up and get into the acknowledgments. So I feel like I had a super underappreciated tweet that I sent out the other day, and I'm gonna force all of you listeners to listen to it.
That's what the podcast is for. Let's do it.
Broke. Trump pardoning a turkey. Woke. Eating Joe Arpaio on Thanksgiving. Ding, 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 ding. There's my bell.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, man. What a piece of shit he is.
Oh, God.
He was pardoned by the president, guys. Woohoo!
Oh, man. That means the innocent, right? Okay, let's button this up. All right, so.
Let's do that.
Where can we find you on the internet?
Oh, I am at DevNava on Twitter. I changed my middle Twitter name to iOhioVoting because I hate those stickers, but they're hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Also, DevNava.com is where I often write things. And I was supposed to write a review this week. Whoops. But I will write a review for Big Sig's new album soon.
Hey.
He came out with Fiji Dreams and The Other Side. So if you're out there and you want new rap music to listen to, hey, go check that out.
100%.
He's on Bandcamp. He's on Bandcamp. So check out Big Six new stuff. Where can they find you, Dylan?
All right. They can find me on Twitter at Dylan Bickers. Also on the internet at dylanbickers.com or where we host this podcast, masthead.tech. Both sites by Squarespace, and it's a delightful website. Just click a few buttons and you have a website. Please and let's see here.
Also,
oh yeah, go
villainous
ahead.
Beats.
Yes,
villainous beans. Villainous
beans.
Yeah, so our intro and outro are beats from Villainous Beats. He has beats for sale. So if you are into that chill hop, hip hop, whatever hop, he's coming out with another project before the end of the year too. So
oh hell yeah,
yeah.
Also, want to go ahead and extend once again massive, just huge props to Peter Villardi, MC Freeman for being our guest on our last episode of Every Other Wednesday. He was awesome and really got me hyped for having more guests in the future. Peter's actually going to be heading up Michigan way here pretty soon. He will be dearly
missed.
Yeah,
I think
in OHIO.
He just moved yesterday.
Did he?
So, yeah.
What
yeah.
the fuck?
So I think he's finally there.
Oh, man.
I was
enjoying that good legal kush.
Yeah, because yesterday was Big Sig's, like, big... like birthday bash, and so I was
yeah.
teasing him, like, "You're gonna come back on Sunday?" And he's like, "Maybe not," but yeah, I missed that too because I was a sleepy boy. But yeah, we have anything else? Do we have anything to close? Anything special to close off the episode? Can we find a final Yahoo?
Let's try and find
a final joke.
Okay, that's just racist. I got one.
Got one.
Okay. Yahoo Answers anonymous asker asks, is it okay to use physical discipline on children as punishment? Best answer, yes. Also, real late, up to 20 year. Abortion should not be against the law.
Okay. All right.
All right.
See you guys next time. Bye, Dylan.
Bye, Dylan.